Chapter 5. Tiger, Tiger. After leaving the jungle, Mowgli came upon a great plain where cattle and buffalo were grazing. At one end of the plain was a little village. Mowgli stood at the gate. As he waited there, a group of people gathered around him. They pointed and stared at the boy. "They have no manners, these menfolk," Mowgli said to himself. The village priest said to the crowd, "There is nothing to be afraid of. Look at the scars of little wolf bites on him. He is but a wolf child run away from the jungle." One of the women cried, "Look closely, Mesua. By my honour, the boy is much like your son who was stolen away by the tiger." The priest was a clever man. He knew that Mesua's husband was the richest man in the village. "What the jungle has taken, the jungle has brought back to you," he said. "Take the boy into your house, Mesua, and do not forget to honour the priest, for he sees far into the lives of men." Mesua took Mowgli into her hut, and there she gave him some bread and a long drink of milk. She looked deep into his eyes. "Nathu, Nathu, do you remember when I gave you new shoes?" She touched his foot. It was almost as hard as horn. "No," she said sadly. "Those feet have never worn shoes. But you are very like Nathu. And now you shall be my son." Mowgli thought, "I must soon learn to speak as they do." As Mesua talked throughout the day, he imitated her words. And before dark, he knew the names of many things in the hut. But that night, he would not get in the bed. To him, it looked just like a trap. He went outside to sleep, and just before he closed his eyes, a soft grey nose poked at him. It was Grey Brother, the oldest of Mother Wolf's cubs. "Wake," said Grey Brother. "I bring news. Shere Khan's coat was badly burned with the red flower. He has gone away until it grows back. But I must warn you. When he returns, he swears that he will lay your bones in the Wanganga River." "I too have a promise," Mowgli replied. "When he comes back, wait for me under the dak tree in the middle of the plain. We do not need to walk into Shere Khan's mouth." "I will wait for you," Grey Brother promised. "You will not forget you are a wolf then? Men will not make you forget?"
"Never,"
Mowgli promised. "But I will always remember that I was cast out of the pack." "You may be cast out of another pack," Grey Brother warned him. "Men are only men, after all, and their talk is like the talk of frogs in a pond." For the next 3 months, Mowgli learned the ways of men. There were many things he did not understand in the least. The village priest told Mowgli that the god in the temple would be angry if he ate the priest's mangoes. So Mowgli picked up the image of the god and brought it to the priest's house. When he said he would be happy to fight the god, there was an awful scandal. Mesua's husband had to pay much good silver to comfort the offended god. At night, Mowgli sat with the men under the great fig tree and listened to the tales of Buldeo, the village hunter. Buldeo told stories of gods and men and ghosts. And one night, Buldeo spoke of the tiger who had carried off Mesua's son. "It was a ghost tiger," he said, "inhabited by the spirit of a wicked old man. The old man had a limp, just the same as the tiger." "These tales are nothing but cobwebs and moon talk," Mowgli snorted. "That tiger probably had a limp because it was born lame." "Oh, it's the jungle brat, is it?" said Buldeo. "If you were so wise, why don't you bring the tiger's hide to Kaniwara? The government has set 100 rupees on his life." The headman of the village said, "It's high time the boy was set to work. Perhaps herding buffalo will teach him some respect for his elders." Nothing could have pleased Mowgli more. Every morning, he set off with the other village boys to herd cattle and buffalo. He rode on the back of Rama, the great herd bull. From the start, he made it clear to the other children that he was the master. At last, the day came when Mowgli saw Grey Brother sitting under the dak tree. "Shere Khan's plan is to wait for you at the village gate this evening," Grey Brother warned. "He is hiding now in the dry ravine of the Wanganga." "Has he eaten today?" asked Mowgli. "He killed a pig at dawn, and he has drunk too," said Grey Brother. He could never fast, even for the sake of revenge. Oh, fool, fool, said Mowgli. He plans to wait until he has slept, I know. I could take the herd to the head of the ravine and then sweep down. But someone must block the other end. Can you cut the herd in two for me? Grey Brother said, not I alone, but I have brought a wise helper. Akela trotted out from behind a rock. Akela! Cried Mowgli, clapping his hands. I might have known you would not forget me. We have big work at hand. Cut the herd in two, Akela. Keep the cows and calves together and leave the buffaloes alone. The two wolves ran in and out of the herd. The animals snorted and threw up their heads. At last, they separated into two clumps. The other herd children, watching from half a mile away, ran back to the village as fast as their legs could carry them. Mowgli slipped onto Rama's back. Drive the bulls away to the left, Akela. And you, Grey Brother, hold the cows together and then drive them into the foot of the ravine. Mowgli and Akela drove the buffaloes to the top of the ravine. Then Akela gave a full hunting yell and the buffaloes charged down the steep slope. Shere Khan heard the thunder of their hooves. He ran around the ravine looking for some way to escape. But the sides of the deep gorge were steep and he was heavy with food and drink. Mowgli, riding on Rama's back, saw Shere Khan turn in his direction. Then Rama tripped and stumbled over something soft. The bulls behind him crashed full into the other herd, and now the cattle were stamping and snorting. Mowgli cried, Quick, Akela, break them up! Softly, now softly, Rama! It's all over! Shere Khan was dead. Mowgli sat down and began to skin the tiger. His hide will look well on the council rock, he said. Suddenly, Buldeo appeared, and the wolves quickly dropped out of sight. What's this? Said Buldeo. Well, it's the lame tiger. Well, boy, we will overlook you letting the herd run off. Perhaps I will even give you one of the rupees as a reward when I take the skin to Kanawara. I need the skin for my own use, said Mowgli. Come, Akela, this man is bothering me. In the blink of an eye, Buldeo found himself down in the grass with a wolf standing over him. After a while, Mowgli let him go and the hunter hobbled away to the village just as fast as he could. When Mowgli returned at twilight with the buffaloes, it seemed that half the village was waiting for him at the gate. It's because I've killed Shere Khan, he said to himself. But then a shower of stones whistled about his ears. Jungle demon! Wolf's brat! Go away! Shouted the villagers. Again? Mowgli cried in disbelief. The last time I was sent away, it was because I was a man. This time, it's because I am a wolf. Messua ran up to Mowgli. Oh, my son, they say you're a demon. I do not believe such a thing, but now go, or they'll kill you. Farewell, Messua, Mowgli cried. I have at least paid for your son's life. Farewell. Akela yelled, and the buffaloes charged through the gate, scattering the crowd left and right. Later that morning, Mowgli lay Shere Khan's hide on the council rock. Akela wailed the old call to the wolf pack. Since the fight with Mowgli, the wolves had been without a leader. Now, when the pack had gathered at the council rock, they cried, Lead us again, O Akela! You lead us too, O man cub! No, said Bagheera, who had heard the call and come to the rock. You fought for freedom, and it is yours. Eat it, O wolves. Both Man-Pack and Wolf-Pack have cast me out, Mowgli said sadly. Now I must hunt alone in the jungle. Not alone, said the four wolf cubs. We will hunt with you.